Torty on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Ready?
I was born ready.
I can honestly say that's the best news I've heard all day.
Joe Torty Show.
Kind of reminded me of a dark, gothic Neil Diamond.
That's like exactly what I'm going for.
This is the Joe Torty Show.
What show are you listening to?
Joe Torty Show.
I'm trying to be patient, but you're making it incredibly difficult.
I can say big loud things. I can be demonstrative.
Can we just end this already?
Now it's time. The Joe Torty Show.
What's going on, Philly? Joe Torty here with you, 97.5 The Fanatic. Well, I've got to say, that's about as uninspired a goalie performance as the Flyers are likely to face this year. The unfortunate part about that, of course, is that when you're facing somebody like that, you really want to get a lot of shots on goal. Flyers didn't really do that. In the last 22 minutes, they only put 3 shot attempts on goal in losing to the Carolina Hurricanes. Just a nightmare.
Good.
Yeah, it's just a nightmare end to this road trip. Really, the whole road trip is pretty nightmarish. The best part is now they're coming home. Couldn't be any worse than the way that things have been recently. And maybe some home cooking is exactly what the doctor ordered, because the road trip, not kind to Philadelphia. The Capitals, the Lightning, the Bruins coming to town over the course of the homestand here. So, a very, very frustrating result for the Flyers tonight. And you know what? Truth be told, that's kind of going around. You know, the Sixers win, but everybody's frustrated with the Sixers still. Flyers, that road trip we talked about, the struggles that they've been on. And of course, ahead of the game, we were talking about the Philadelphia Eagles and specifically the course of action now in the offseason, what is required for this team to be the Super Bowl contender that we counted on them being ahead of time, that we counted on them being before this season started. And of course, the other part that is kind of the elephant in the room, who is not going to be a part of the team when they get back together. Now, as you know, Malcolm Jenkins has said he has no desire to return to Philadelphia on his current deal. He's 32 years old. He's got 1 year left on his contract. Told the Eagles ahead of time that he was not interested in returning this year. There was no new deal that was worked out. Jenkins showed up, did his job, wasn't a distraction. But now it kind of seems like the bill has come due for the Eagles, and this contract no longer good enough for Malcolm Jenkins. So they have to make that decision. We talked about Zach Ertz. We talked about a lot of the other free agent pieces. Nelson Agholor is almost certainly out the door. There is a non-zero possibility that Rodney McLeod is not going to be an Eagle moving forward here. There are a lot of different pieces that you look at with the Eagles trying to put this group back together. The question becomes, how much is too much to fix? If you were watching the Flyers game, by the way, quick question. What is it about this team on the road? Like, why is this team, every team's a little bit better at home. Understood. I get that. It's no problem. But why the great swing that the Flyers have between their home performances and their road performances? I mean, Carolina, they've been fine, but they haven't been lighting the world on fire. They were not a team that you looked at coming into this one and thought, wow, that's a devastating team. Same with Arizona on Saturday. Fine, not great. And yet the Flyers continue to slide back down. They're 22-15-6 at this point. And, I mean, there's a lot to be desired still with what they've done. They're still in the second wild card spot and holding on to it by a point. But the rest of the teams in the Metropolitan Division just continue to kind of plug away. go to Paul in Florida to lead things off here tonight. Paul, you're on the Joe Torti Show. What's happening, man?
Listen, that was the Flyers have got to be. This is the worst Flyers team. Forget about last year. Forget about, yeah, I know they're better this year. Forget about that. Forget about the metrics. I was watching the game. These announcers, I'm like, what games are you watching? This defense, I don't know who, I forgot who the defensive coach is. He should be fired. The Flyers, mark my word, are losing the next three games. They are so flat. You were talking about Carolina, Brenda Moore. He's a monster in the gym. They work out. They hit it hard. That's a hard-nosed coach. That's what the Flyers need. None of these coaches, well, he was good with New York. This is not the guy. That's what their problem is. They go on the road. I would be calling a timeout and slapping him on the head going, what the hell is going on here? There's no emotion. They come out and they play half-ass. They come across. They enter the zone. You know why they only have three shots? Because they got three. They got a forward coming back. Their two defensemen are right there at the blue line. And here's a forward coming right through going, I'm going to beat Gretzky through three guys. You're not going to do that. I have never seen this team play like this. They have got real problems. I have never in my entire life. What are you going to do? Just sit there and look at their defense. It's like, well, we're going to keep the puck to the outside. Okay. Well, guess what they're going to do then? Cycle the puck. So then you're going to allow the enemy's centerman to come right in front of your goalie. And then all they have to do is shoot the puck at the net. If you shoot 5,000 pucks at the net, you're going to get some goals. It's ridiculous. They've got to be much more aggressive on the defense. If you look at this game, first, if I was coach, the very first thing I would do is I'd take Boston. I would take all the teams that have really good defenses and go, that's who I want to be. How can I implement that defense? Because that's what's going to win these games. If they had a better defense, you watch all these games, their defense is shrinking. Like, here, would you like me to meet my goalie? Everyone's going to talk about Elliott's play. Elliott's play was awesome. Everything, Bobrovsky, we got rid of Bobrovsky because, well, he's not that good. He was never the problem. The problem with Philadelphia going way back is that they blame the goalies. You got no defense. It's really sad. I love the Flyers. I bleed orange and black. But they've got to look at themselves in the mirror, including Fletcher, and say, you got to make some changes here and make this happen. Be more aggressive.
Man, Paul, I love the passion to start things off here. And honestly, you hit on a lot of things that, I mean, from the coaching perspective, it's tough to tell. And not necessarily from a head coaching perspective, but from like Mike Yeo and Michelle Therrien and those guys, like what the impact is on what they're doing tonight. But what I'll say is the Flyers have been trying to dedicate resources defensively for a long time with, call it, mixed results. Sometimes you see big time hits, and sometimes you're not really thrilled at all with what you've seen. And it seems like there are other teams. You bring up Boston. I think of Washington as another team. Pittsburgh has been a team like this. Teams just seem to be more consistent when it comes to generating defensive players that are big time impact guys at the NHL level. The Flyers are still a little bit of a work in progress in that area. You know, and that's the point, is that you try to dedicate resources. You bring in Justin Braun, you bring in Matt Niskanen. You spent still a high draft pick on Ivan Provorov. Looks like he's developing. You like Travis Sanheim, you're high on him. Like, there are a lot of these pieces that you've dedicated resources to. Just hasn't worked out yet. Now, I'm not even saying that it's a wait and see thing, because who knows if it ever really comes together. But it still doesn't explain why the Flyers are so much stronger at home as opposed to being on the road. And this road trip has been a full-on disaster. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. That was good stuff from Paul. Fired up about the Flyers. Man, did DK Metcalf really have 7 catches for 160 yards and a score? Yikes. Rough. And then, of course, the other one that we were told to watch out for all week was Travis Homer. Watch Travis Homer kill you in the screen game and stuff like that. Travis Homer had 1 catch for 5 yards for the Seahawks, had 11 carries for 12 yards, and fumbled the football. Man, oh man.
Is that more yards than J.J. Arcega-Whiteside had all year?
No, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside had a big game. other week. Oh, man. What did he end up with this year?
I know the other week he had 100. When they played Washington, he had 130 yards. And that's exactly how much Terry McLaurin had in that game.
He ended up with 10 for 169 yards and a score. Let's see what DK Metcalf did. Oh, boy. I'm scared to look. Oh, he had 9 more yards than DK Metcalf. So there you go. Good job, JJ.
So great pick.
Nailed it. Joey in Philly's next on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hey, Joey.
Hey, what's going on, man?
How you doing?
I'm okay. Something I wanted to shine some light on was Doug Peterson at the podium after the Seattle game when he was asked about the dirty hit that Clowney delivered to Carson Wentz. His response to me, it didn't seem like he was all that enthused to come to Carson's defense or even talk about it. And that really raises some questions with me on how he answered that question.
What's
your take on that? I mean, just because one reporter asked him about the hit, and he kind of just brushed it aside. Said, you know, I was coaching, I looked Carson that up. I really didn't see the play. Well, when we all know he did see the play at halftime, and it didn't seem like he was backing his guy like he should. It was more so to me, it seemed like he just didn't care about it.
Well, it could be read that way, Joey. What I said, I mean, there were a couple of people, Jalen Mills and a couple of other guys said that they didn't see the hit. So I don't know if they're like looking at the hit in the locker room at halftime. I think it's more where Doug Peterson just doesn't think that it changes anything now. You know what I mean? To talk about it after the fact. What are you going to do? You know, the worst thing that's going to happen, or the only thing that's going to happen, if Peterson complains about a missed call is that he gets fined. It doesn't make Carson Wentz healthy to be in the game or anything like that, you know?
Right, which makes sense, but I'm talking about it more on a perspective of jumping to his quarterback's defense after the hit, or at least saying, you know what, we all saw it was a dirty hit. I don't know why Carson didn't get the respect he deserved. To me, it just didn't seem like he took had his back like he should. And also, someone else called earlier, I think Mike Messinelli's show, and pointed out that later after that hit, Jason Peters helped Clowney up.
Yes.
After a few plays after. So to me, I'm just like putting these two together, and I'm like, these guys really don't look like they should be jumping to his defense or having his back like they probably should.
Well, I mean, Joey, as far as I'm concerned, thanks for the phone call, man. I appreciate it. The part that I have an issue with is that it's football to these guys, right? So unless something is absolutely 100% a dirty hit and they know that it is, you know, it's a different era, man. Like, I'm not saying that nobody ever jumps to anybody's defense because it happens a lot. I'm not saying that. I am saying, though, that a lot of these guys have respect for each other. They're friends. They've played together, et cetera, et cetera. If Jason Peters didn't know for sure that it was a dirty hit that knocked him out, then Jason Peters, you know, maybe isn't going to be as nasty and as aggressive with Clowney. I don't know. I can't speak for those guys. I don't know what's going on in their mind. I don't know what they're thinking or what they're doing. Because certainly from our perspective, when we saw it and we got to see replays and we saw slow motion and everything else, you know, it's pretty obvious that it was a brutal hit and something that didn't need to occur. Something that certainly could have been avoided. Now, when it comes to Doug Peterson talking about Jadeveon Clowney, look, I go back to what is he going to say? Like, what would make us feel better? He said he didn't see it, and that's just the direction that you have to go. You have to take him at his word. You know, what you said in the call is that we all know that he saw it at halftime. I don't know that. I don't know. Said I was looking to call the next play. I really didn't see it. I don't know about what he did at halftime. He says there's nothing I can do about it. It's out of my hands. It's got to be called on the field. They didn't call it, so obviously they didn't think it was a penalty. And then he kept saying, you know, I'm just trying to win the game. I don't know. Doug Peterson's never struck me as a complain to the media sour grapes guy. I don't think he's got that in him. And I think that probably says more about why you haven't heard this. You know, he's not Sean Payton. He's not Pete Carroll. He's not these guys who will air the grievances against the officials, against other players, against the other team. It doesn't happen. It's just kind of the guy that you got. couple of open phone lines, 610-632-0975. Mike in Levittown's next on The Fanatic. What's going on, Mike?
Joe, how are you, buddy?
Okay, how are you?
You know, just when you were just saying right there, when Peterson, all right, as a head coach, how does he not go in at halftime and say, hey, whoa, what's up my quarterback? What's up my quarterback? What's going on with my quarterback? What happened to my quarterback? I would have been answering 1,000 questions, as 99% of the population would have done. And for him to turn around and go, well, I didn't know. I didn't see the hit. Mm-hmm. No, they would have showed him the hit. And guess what? I would have been a little pissed off at the end of the game because you know what? Nothing for nothing. I think I got, and us as fans, got ripped off that we didn't get to see Carson Wentz in his first playoff game, play a whole game.
Agreed.
Win, lose, draw, whatever the case may be. But he got taken out with a cheap shot. And you know what? And it is a cheap shot. He knew exactly what he was doing. Listen, when you watch that, it happens like a snap. But he's going down. He fell on top of him and led. What he did, he arced his head. It's kind of like two Rams in the Discovery Channel. Did you ever see him?
Oh, yeah.
They're like head to head, and they like arc their neck. That's exactly the way he did it. It's exactly the way he did it. And he knew what he was doing. The vicious hit, and he knew what he was doing. So he knocks out our quarterback. And damn it, he didn't give him the opportunity to play the game. You know, and nothing changes regardless of 15-yard penalty, whatever the case is.
No, he took him out of the game.
That you give him a fine, whatever. It kicked us out. It kicked Carson Wentz out. I was so happy to see him, nothing for nothing. When they got in the playoffs, I'm like, cool. Carson, we finally get to see him in a playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't even get to play one quarter. Shame on that man.
Mike, you're absolutely right, though. You're
pissed off.
You're within your rights to be that way. And I'm not defending Clowney at all because, like I said, it was a dirty hit. It was clearly a dirty hit. And we were talking about it before the Flyers game that the only saving grace, the only silver lining for the Eagles making the playoffs, kind of by default, the only silver lining was that you get Carson Wentz playoff experience, that you get Carson Wentz the ability to taste postseason football. And in reality, I know that he started the game. I know that he played 8 snaps or whatever. He didn't. He didn't really taste postseason football. He didn't get to experience what it's like to take a lead, to come back against somebody, to be directing traffic in a high-stakes environment. Now, they can sell you the bill of goods all they want about, oh, yeah, we've been in the postseason for a long time now. Every game has been a playoff game the last month, so we're ready. Look, it's different. Playoff action is just a different animal. And you're right, as fans, if you bought a ticket or you were watching on TV, you were invested with this team all season. You were locked in from week one against Washington until now. And probably before that, you were probably involved in the preseason too. And the only thing that you end up holding out for is the chance to see your quarterback in a situation like that. And to say, hey, you're building up towards something. You're answering questions about whether a guy can play in the postseason. Is a moment going to be too big for him, et cetera, et cetera. Instead, it's another wait till next year kind of situation. 610-632-0975, your phone number to join the conversation. You can also reach out on Twitter at Joe Torty, T-O-R-D-Y, at 97.5 The Fanatic. It is unbelievably frustrating because A, the Eagles didn't win the game. That's number one. B, they could have won the game. Because, I mean, let's face it. I said Josh McCown did fine. I still believe that Josh McCown did fine. He's not Carson Wentz. If Carson Wentz is in there doing Carson Wentz type things in an 8-point game, you're a lot closer to winning that game. You're telling me that with Carson Wentz, the Eagles don't score one touchdown in a playoff game at home? I don't believe that. You're in a much closer game. Everybody did what they were supposed to do defensively, special teams. I mean, you hold Seattle to 17 points, you're doing okay. But now it's another year where you're just sitting there thinking about Wentz and what he can do in the postseason and what kind of clutch quarterback he's going to be in a year when he answered so many questions. Can you come from behind in the fourth quarter? Can you win in overtime? Can you stay healthy an entire year? Check, check, check. And then you get to the last box that you realistically wanted to see this year. Even with Carson Wentz, they weren't winning a Super Bowl. We all knew that. But just to see him play in a postseason game, to get a postseason win at home, to have that robbed from you early in the game, you're within your rights, man. Go crazy. And it was a dirty hit. 610-632-0975. Got a tweet on this earlier today. I'll read that for you next, and it does add perspective if you are one of the ones who's not as upset about the hit. It's the Joe Torty Show. We're hanging out until midnight right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Joe Torty on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Joe Torty Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Eagles, Flyers, etc. All on the table, and of course, we haven't even talked about the Sixers yet. Might save the Sixers for later because that's a whole nother issue. As they said in Wedding Crashers, you can tell the therapist we can forget about mom for a while. I mean, like, we got a whole nother set of issues here. So, when it comes down to it, no matter what, and this is, I think, what the core part of the messaging in the press conference was. Would you like to see things changed? Yeah, probably, when it comes to dirty hits on quarterbacks and stuff like that. But what are you going to do? Like, they're not going to overturn, they're not going to change out the result of the game. They're not going to have you replay from any time. Like, there's nothing that's going to happen. The season's over. Seahawks are moving on. Eagles are going home. And this is something that Zach Berman tweeted. Been a lot of conversation in Philly during the past 36 hours about officiating regarding the Clowney hit on Carson Wentz. In my opinion, the game wasn't determined by officiating. If they throw a flag there, it's 15 yards and first and 10 from the Philadelphia 40. It doesn't keep Wentz in the game. Now, P. Alvello 3 tweets in. Well, sure, but this missed the point entirely. By not being flagged or even addressed by a fine, the standard is set to allow this type of play as excusable and sets the stage for a future player to be lost in the playoffs or, worse, unnecessary brain trauma. By addressing the incident properly, the NFL governing body would admit they, well, messed up and maybe dissuades future injuries from happening. They gain credibility. Instead, it looks like further sloppy officiating with the blame shifted to sour grapes Phillies fans, Philly fans' schoolyard tactics. Well, I've heard some people throw out solutions. I mean, fines, I'm sure, are effective in varying degrees when it comes to player safety and this kind of stuff, right? Coincidentally, it affects lower end of the roster players more, since you don't get fined based on a percentage, you get fined an amount of money. So somebody who's getting, say, you know, veteran minimum or whatever, is getting hit a lot harder than someone who is, say, if Peyton Manning at the height of his powers, or let's say Carson Wentz this year, got fined for something. It doesn't hurt as much to get a $25,000 fine. However, I've heard some interesting ideas about if a player gets injured on a hit that is deemed to be dirty, and that doesn't necessarily count for this in particular, because let's face it, Clowney wasn't flagged. If he were, though, somebody would suggest, hey, if you get flagged for unnecessary roughness or something like that, a personal foul, and someone gets injured, then you would be disqualified until that player returns. Now, obviously, that's a gameable situation. You know, what if Von Miller hits, I don't know, Nelson Agholor, right? And you're Doug Peterson, and you recognize that Von Miller is considerably more valuable to them than Nelson Agholor is to you. Don't you hold Nelson Agholor out of the game the entire time until Von Miller comes back? Or so Von Miller can't come back, rather? Like, that's where I see those solutions, and I just think that there's no way to do it. But it doesn't make it any less annoying or frustrating that your opportunity to see your starting quarterback in a playoff scenario went out the window before halftime of that playoff game. Mark in Belmar is next on 97.5 The Fanatic. Good evening, Mark. How are you doing?
How you doing, Joe? What's going on, man?
Not too much. Not too much.
So, would you agree with me if I asked you, is this Howie Roseman's most important offseason yet?
I thought last offseason was pretty important, but yeah, I think that I'd agree with you that this one is right there, 100%.
It just killed me on Sunday to just see two guys, especially talking about DK Metcalf and Jadeveon Clowney, two guys that the Eagles had a chance of getting, obviously Metcalf in the draft, mm-hmm. and could have had the chance at trading Clowney. It just seemed like Howie didn't want to make any moves by the trade deadline. And I know Seattle gave up a lot for Clowney, but, I mean, in a scenario, we get Clowney and Wentz doesn't even get hurt. I know that's a lot, but just seeing two guys that we had a chance of wearing the midnight green mm-hmm. killing us on Sunday in the playoffs, it just speaks volumes. Yes, if Carson doesn't get hurt, we have a better chance of winning the game, but you got to get over that. I mean, this offseason is really up to Howie Roseman. Wentz needs weapons, and the secondary is weak.
Well, I mean, you saw teams like, for example, Earl Thomas going to the Ravens. That helped out that secondary tremendously when they really needed it. You saw Minkah Fitzpatrick almost single-handedly save the Steelers' season. The Rams were much better after they traded for Ramsey in the secondary. Like, not saying that all of those moves are going to work out long-term because we don't know what those draft picks turn into, but Howie Roseman, for being as aggressive as he always is and everything else, kind of sat on his hands. So I don't know if it was that he knew something that we didn't about this team's potential, and he didn't think they were a Super Bowl team anyway, so he wasn't going to bury resources into it or what. But he's got a lot of questions to answer as far as I'm concerned this offseason.
Yeah, man, after the past two playoff runs, I've really, even though I didn't like how he went for it on fourth down the other day, I've really bought into everything Doug Peterson preaches at this point. I mean, he brought a team of, practically practice squad players to the wild card playoff round. So, I mean, I respect Doug, but I feel like Howie just needs to turn up the volumes in free agency, and especially with this coming draft class.
Yeah, Mark, I think you're absolutely right. Thanks for the phone call, especially a wide receiver, where I pointed out that there's probably a half dozen guys who are going to be really, really good NFL players, and there are going to be more than that who are going to be starters. So your opportunity to load up on talent at the wide receiver position is something that I hope the Eagles don't pass up on. I hope that they don't just think, well, we're getting Nelson Agholor out, but you've got J.J. Arcega-Whiteside with another offseason. You've got Alshon Jeffrey coming back. You've got DeSean Jackson coming back. You've got Greg Ward. You don't need wide receivers. I hope that they don't look at it through that lens, because there are a lot of really good players available, and you'll be missing out if you exclude that position from your early draft board. I can't imagine that they would do that. But the Eagles have done stranger things in the past. When it comes to Doug Peterson, this coaching job that he did this year overall was superior to any coaching job that he's done that includes winning the Super Bowl. This was his finest season overall. Not saying that it was without warts, not saying that he did everything perfectly this year, but to be able to do what he did with all of the injuries that he had from a numbers standpoint and from a quality standpoint, that was nothing short of remarkable. Now the question becomes, can the rest of the organization keep up? Can Howie Roseman start providing more of what the team needs to get back to that Super Bowl level? Because while you can be proud of the team's effort and proud of the way that they rallied down the stretch and earned a playoff spot and everything else and battled with Seattle, even though you had Josh McCown in as your quarterback for 75% of that game. Despite all that, it's not the new norm. At least not the new norm that I would want to sign up for. So there needs to be more. There needs to be bigger, better growth this offseason as opposed to last offseason, because the plan this past offseason did not work. A couple of open phone lines, 610-632-0975. Matt in Northeast Philly is next on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Matt?
Hey, what's going on, Joe?
How you doing?
I could be better.
Yeah, I hear that.
You know, I mean, I get it 100% that the game of football is played, you're going to get injuries. I get it. Number two, Carson didn't throw his back out. He didn't tear a calf muscle. He didn't throw his shoulder out. Concussions are going to happen regardless, okay? You know, I obviously, him lunging, using the crown of his helmet, yeah, we all know it's a dirty hit. But, again, at the end of the day, you know, the results are the results.
Mm-hmm.
They only beat him by 8 points. If, you know, to me, I think if you have Nate on the field, Sudfeld, maybe they get in the end zone. You know, better arm strength than Josh, obviously, more mobile, et cetera, et cetera. The only thing that I don't understand is why is Jordan Howard just standing on the sideline?
Well, he's definitely not healthy, right? Like, that has to end up being the case.
Yeah, so, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you got a banged-up Miles Sanders with his ankle and his knee, and, you know, it was just a rough slating. But at the end of the day, man, the city wanted to see Carson put this team, put this city on his back. I get it. They played Washington. They played New York. They did beat Dallas. All games that he had to win in order for them to get in, man. And I just, you got to eventually give the guy some kind of respect instead of keep throwing him under the bus.
Well, you're right. I mean, and the frustrating part, Matt, is that seemed like, this game seemed like it was an opportunity for him to get more of that respect and to answer the questions about, can you make it through a season and can you lead a team in the postseason? And, you know, there are people literally saying, Matt, I remember calls where people said, you should have Carson Wentz play for most of the regular season and then bring in Nick Foles at the end because Nick Foles is a better playoff quarterback. Like, those are the ridiculous things that people were saying. And the fact that it was robbed from him from a dirty hit early on is unfair. It really isn't fair.
Exactly. Yeah. So I agree 100% with you. And, you know, again, hopefully next year, hopefully this offseason, you know, that Howie understands what is the most needed things. And, you know, from a leader perspective, you know, I think he has to address the Malcolm Jenkins contract almost damn near immediately.
What would you do?
I out of respect for Malcolm, for the heart, the intensity he plays with, one of the only secondary guys that stayed healthy multiple years, you know, I think you do reward him, whether it's with guaranteed money on a short-term deal, whether another two-year deal or a three-year deal. You know, or if you do give him the lengthy contract with money over time, but I do think that he should be rewarded.
Matt, thanks for the phone call, man. Appreciate it. So do I. However, the cruel, cruel capitalist in me says, Malcolm, I've already rewarded you for that stuff. I've already paid you for all that stuff that you were saying about not missing a game and all. You're already gotten paid for that. I don't think he's going to be very receptive to that idea. 610-632-0975 is the Joe Torti Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Joe Torti on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, hanging out with you until midnight. During the game, of course, the 7 o'clock hour passed. I want to let you know that the 7 o'clock hour is brought to you by Club Risqué, the Delaware Valley's premier gentlemen's club with three locations, Philly, Bristol, and Northeast Philadelphia. For more information, visit clubrisque.com. Dylan McKinnon is producing this evening's programming. Your phone number to join the conversation is 610-632-0975. Postmortem on this Eagles situation. Having had time to think and time to reflect on it, even though I said that Doug Peterson did a good coaching job, and he did, even though I thought Carson Wentz had a very, very good season, despite that, despite all of it, this season was an abject failure for the team. Oh, and by the way, this is news to me. I didn't know this, but I figured I would share this for you. Tom Pelissero, who reports for NFL Network, says that the NFL is taking another look at the play that ended Carson Wentz's playoff debut early. They're reviewing the play. Clowney said it was a bang-bang play. I don't intend to hurt anybody in this league. Let me put that out there. I've been down the injury road. It's not fun. My intention was not to hurt him. I was just playing fast. But they're taking another look at the Clowney injury. Or the Wentz injury, the Clowney hit. And then, of course, he called us the worst fans in the world here in Philadelphia. So that was fun. That was very exciting. The fact is that the team, based on the preseason expectations, did not live up to expectations. And I don't want to hear about the goalposts moving and everything like that, because if that's the case, then don't do preseason predictions. Don't go down the schedule. Don't figure out where the team should be. Don't pick who you have winning the Super Bowl. Don't pick who you have winning the division, right? You can't do all that and then just disregard all of it. You can't say, oh, well, based on everything that happened, it was a success. It just seems like that's a very consolation prize way of looking at what happened with the Eagles this year. And it looks to me as though the Eagles did not necessarily have a successful year, because you win the division, yes, check, that's one of your goals, but you did not win your home playoff game. Now, there are lots of reasons for that. All of the injuries, certainly the injury to Carson Wentz during the game. And don't get me wrong, if DeSean Jackson's in at full strength, if Alshon Jeffrey's in, if Carson Wentz is in, if Malik Jackson is in, like, you could go all the way back, those guys would make a difference. There's no doubt about it. I'm not minimizing it. I'm not dismissing it. But the fact is, if you're going to go next man up and you're going to go with the team can survive and blah, 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 you were in position to win the game. Miles Sanders dropped the ball. Am I blaming Miles? No, not necessarily. Not for the whole thing. But that play, yeah, absolutely. There were enough plays to be made out there that the Eagles did not make that should let you as an Eagles fan be frustrated with the fact that they were not able to take care of business. Jerry in North Philly is next on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's going on, Jerry? How you doing?
I'm good. How you doing, brother?
Doing okay, thanks.
Yeah, I was going to talk about Malcolm Jenkins real quick. I had another point, too.
Go ahead, yep.
Malcolm Jenkins, I was just telling him, like, listen, you're getting 7.5 this year. The most I can do for you is 10, dude. You got to understand the cap space. I can't let you dictate the team. You know, you guys want to win, but you want all the money. You know, it can't work that way.
Right.
And if you didn't take the 10, I'd be like, well, then we look at a buyout. and just let them walk. Because I mean, it's gonna be like a Dawkins situation where we love them, but we just, you know, money just isn't there to give it to him.
Well, yeah, I mean, here's the problem. The problem is that he signed his deal, and then he sees guys who are at the absolute top of the game, who, by the way, aren't 32 years old, making twice what he's making. You know, you're right, Jerry. The approach is, hey, let's meet somewhere in the middle here. I just don't know if that's going to be something that he signs on for.
Yeah, the problem with these players these days, man, they get all the money. The thing is, I hate paying players big money. Because I feel like once you pay them, they're like, I got guaranteed, so I'll just take a step back from playing as hard as I was in my contract year. That hurts me when we pay players.
Of course.
Sometimes they don't live up to their contract. But my other point was that Mike Rowe's going to come back next year, so I wouldn't put too much bank on the Eagles season because we're going to have another boring season of someone who's just happy to be here. Mike Rowe does not sit here and tell Doug Peterson, hey, Doug, we shouldn't go for it on fourth down, and let's do a fake field goal. No. You should, you know, if you had somebody like this guy that was here before, I forgot his name, Reich. If you had Reich,
yep.
Reich would have told him, dude, take the easy points. Let's go into halftime. Mike Rowe's just too soft to get any plays. He's kind of a guy that seems like he's just happy to be on the team, happy to be in a position he's in.
Oh, Jerry, so you're not believing that he's in the mix for like every head coaching job in the NFL right now, like some reports are saying?
I absolutely hope he gets the Browns job. That would be a match made in heaven. I mean, his dad fired him. When he was a college coach. And then, oh, one more thing I want to ask.
Go ahead.
Why hasn't anybody asked Jalen Mills about a post that he liked about Carson Wentz being overpaid?
I didn't even hear that, Jerry. I got to go research this.
Yeah, he liked that on Instagram about Carson Wentz getting paid. I did the research and went back to his official Instagram page of him liking that.
Oh, man. Thanks for the phone call, Jerry. Appreciate it. I got to see about this. I got to say this, though. As someone who, and this is not making an excuse for Jalen Mills, I'm not doing it, but as someone who frequently goes back into my my Twitter likes and stuff and seeing, like, I don't remember that at all, it's possible that the scrolling thumb gets you. That's what I've found. But yes, I do see this on Thanksgiving, actually, Jalen Mills liking a post that he's overrated and can't even stay on the field. Wow. Not sure what's going on about that. Don't know if I like it, but whatever. It's a very 2020 thing. I guess it really was, you know, 2019 thing until recently, that you're we're monitoring what everybody is liking on Instagram. But hey, that's how information gets out nowadays. I don't know what's going on with Jalen Mills either, by the way. I don't know if he's back. I don't know if he's out. The Eagles have so many decisions to make in that defensive backfield. And by the way, to Jerry's point, I know that there are some teams that do what are called rolling guarantees. And this is not what players want, but or at least a lot of players don't like this. I know for Le'Veon Bell it was a big deal, but some teams do rolling guarantees where every year of your contract is guaranteed. So you sign a 4-year deal. If you make the team year one, you get all the money. If you make the team year two, you get all the year two money. You make it year three, you get all the year three money. As opposed to getting the chunk up front, which is, of course, what everybody's looking for now. 610-632-0975. Chuck, you're going to lead us off. I wanted to give you your full time without getting cut off by the commercial break. It is the Joe Torti Show on 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.